Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 102. On this week's episode, we discuss more Nintendo Switch information, including an interview with President Kimishima himself. Let's not forget about all the goodness from the Animal Crossing Direct, and Bobby Pauls, the Nintendo guru, joins us to break it all down, plus your questions and so much more. Zach, cue the music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is November the 2nd, 2016. Joining me tonight is Jason, fresh off of Halloween.
I am.
How's it going, man?
Good. I am really fresh off Halloween. My kids made off like bandits on Halloween, and I was noticing an exorbitant amount of chips was given away. Like, that appears to be the currency that the families are trading in now is Doritos and Lay's potato chips. Mm-hmm. So, but a person who's not a Dorito or Lay's potato chip, Jesse Waldack, VG Tribune. How are you today, sir?
Pretty good. My kids didn't do it fair as well. They are a combination of that they didn't probably. For some reason, the music is distracting me today for some reason. It's louder than normal.
Okay. I don't know why that is. Weird.
Yeah. Anyway, so being in a suburb city, not a lot of houses give out candy anymore. And because very few kids come around anymore, because most of the kids either hit up the richer neighbors or just concentrate on the church and business based trunk or treats.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Speaking of a man who's not a trunk or a treat, Bobby Pauls, how are you today, sir?
I am very well, guys. How are you all doing?
Good. Now it is super late for you, sir. It's 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. Listen, you have to be a trooper in order to do this Nintendo Dad show. I'm willing to step up and do this tonight. So this is good.
I appreciate you gracing us with your presence. I appreciate that.
Listen, Zach almost ruined it for you. I almost bailed on you last minute, but you know.
Do you want to publicly air that here? What's going on between you and Zach?
I just have an issue with the words that he said last week, where him, after Ben and you announced that you guys have earned over $1,000, he comes in and starts issuing challenges and he wasn't even involved at the point. So I'm like, this makes no sense. Like, how can he talk this trash when he hasn't even earned a penny? Like,
you know,
that's
what?
Like, you know.
So there are those who lead and there are those who follow, and
yes.
I am the one who sets the tone, all right? I'm not the feet on the ground, I'm the visionary here.
And for those of you that don't know about the visionary set, Zach Simon or Bobby Pauls, obviously we are just a few days away from Life 2016. We are so excited. Bobby has entered the ring as part of the We the Nerdy campaign. Zach is obviously pretending like he actually works with us for Nintendo Dads. And we've also put out a challenge with the Mega Dads as well. We've got these three podcast teams. If you haven't, go over to our Twitter feeds. We have put out wrestling promo videos about how much we are against each other. But all, of course, in good fun, raising money for kids. We're excited to be playing. Now, Bobby, you're going to be playing on Friday or Saturday?
Most likely Saturday. I think Sean's doing Saturday as well.
Yeah.
At some point, I'll probably hook up with him and play a little Mario Kart or something like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, good. We're looking forward to that. So I think.
But I will say this though, in the latest If We Ran Nintendo podcast, I call all you guys out, and I'm like,
what?
We are going to have a Splatoon match or Mario Kart match or something like Nintendo Dads.
Oh, absolutely.
If we ran Nintendo and we need to get together and do this.
Let's do it.
Seriously.
Yeah. Showdown.
We're not going to talk about money or nothing. We're just going to have a good old-fashioned match and see who comes out on top.
Yep.
I love it. Love
absolutely.
It. Now, I will say, in all fairness for the Splatoon, one of us doesn't have their own Splatoon podcast. So I feel like might be an unfair
advantage.
That's
not the point. That's not the
fair
point.
Enough. Okay.
I haven't touched it in months, man. So you're okay. You're all right.
Okay. Well, if we're going to do that, let's play Smash, and we call Roger on our team.
That's not fair.
Nice. All right, well, we've got lots
for joining us today, Bobby.
Yeah, on. And we got lots to talk about. We've got some news and whatnot, and so we're going to head straight into the news. Let's do it.
Do it.
Oh, wait. can't feel the bumper, then it has not been played properly.
Turn it up to 11.
Turn it up. Okay, so of course the news is brought to us by...
Brought to us by oneupbox.com. If you love a really cool, nerdy, geeky stuff being sent to you every single month, head over to oneupbox.com. Use the offer code NintendoDads to get money off your first box. Thank you very much to oneupbox.com for their partnership with the show.
Mm-hmm. So this week we had the investor briefing that came out last week. We talked about that. Basically, almost right as it happened and as that information was released, we were able to talk about it, which was really cool. And since then, we've had an interview with Kimishima with Bloomberg, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
So what sort of stuff did we get from that? Like, was it full of juicy bits?
Well, I think there was definitely some information that he's speaking as a president for the entire company. He kind of answered questions that I think we were all asking. So one of the first things there is an article on Bloomberg. We put it on both our Twitter and Facebook pages, but I'm going to just kind of extract a couple of questions I thought were really interesting. The question was, why did Nintendo decide to combine household and portable gaming? His response was, we didn't just want a successor to the Wii U or the 3DS. So our original concept was, what kind of new gate? And what we showed this time was an object that's both stationary and one that you can take outside to play with you, play with anyone you want. Hang on.
Did he basically just answer the question by describing the Switch again? That's basically what he did, right? Is, well, why did you make something like this? Because that's what it is. Okay.
He's really quite good at that.
So that was a PR. That was. I just wanted to point out the very deftly crafted PR response.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And then the next question that led to that was, will you discontinue the 3DS? And he says, thanks to our software, the 3DS hardware is still growing. So that business still has momentum. And certainly, rather than being cannibalized by the Switch, we think the 3DS can continue in its own form. So I think this is not shocking. We've talked about this before. Bobby, I know you guys talk about it as well. Like, Nintendo is not going to cannibalize both handheld and home console at the exact same time.
Stupid. Yeah.
Banking on the Switch, because if it fails, you got nothing left.
Exactly. Let's be honest. We're talking a couple months ago when Pokemon Go came out and 3DS sales became the number one console of everything. Xbox One and obviously Wii U. But it's just a matter of, like, as legs. Like, it's still growing. It's still selling. I don't see an issue with keeping it around. And they do have games slated till like the middle of next year in terms of, you know, coming out. So I don't think it's an issue at all for them to. And it's stupid. I mean, if you get rid of both, you're in trouble. If Switch doesn't work and they've already eliminated two other consoles, they're DOA. At least if Switch doesn't sell, they can always real quick pivot back to 3DS and work on whatever they decide for another home console or whatever direction they decide to go after that.
Yeah. I think too that what happens is historically, I think they've tried to do that. They've tried to move. Mm-hmm. We kind of saw that when the 3DS came out, even where they tried to transition to the 3DS and they tried to kill the DS basically in the process. Mm-hmm. And it didn't take. People continued to buy DSs and continued to buy DS games, even though the 3DS was on the market. And so it's smart for them to be like, okay, you know what? We're actually just going to, like, we've got so many of these out there. Let's let it be and have it run its course. And as long as people are still interested in it, we'd be silly. Like you said, it'd be stupid to take it off the market. It'd be stupid.
Yeah.
It's a really important part of their income stream right now. So.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I sometimes think that people just don't recognize. They just think it's another console. But remember, Nintendo has been in both the home console and portable console business since 1990. Over 25 years have they had both a console and a portable in some fashion. Interestingly enough, their portable sales are almost always higher than their home console. Why? Because kind of like this show we've talked about before, you got two or three kids in the house. Guess how many DSs you're probably buying? Two or three. Are you buying two or three Wii's or Wii U's? No. Right. So that is a very viable market for them. And I think especially we've seen, you know, that shift to the 2DS is a nice point of entry. Yeah. Right. There's a huge library of games. We're going to talk about the Animal Crossing update in a little bit. But it's such a hot ground for them. And they make tons of money and bank off it. We even saw the sales of 3DSs and or the DS line peak in both July and August because of Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Right? They're making bank off it. So they're not when everyone's like, the 3DS is dead. No. 3DS has got at least two more years strong into it, right?
Yeah.
Easily. So yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Which is crazy. How long has that been? It's been out since 2011, right? Like it's already a 5-year old system.
Like April-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2011. I mean, it came out before the Wii U. So I mean it's lasting longer than the Wii U. And I don't see it leaving anytime soon, really. No. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
And it's gone through some form reiterations, right? We're on the Galaxy version, new XL, new 3DS, Platinum, blah, blah, whatever it is now, right? Yeah. We've gone through some reiterations of it, but it continues to grow, and it's a strength. It's a strong lineup. And I don't know, and I think we've talked on the show. I know, Zach, you said you play your 3DS more than your Wii U, and Bobby, I'd ask you the same question.
I've shifted recently back to my Wii U. I've always kind of flip-flopped. I've always gone back and forth. And it's something I've always said across the board, that if you're in the Nintendo ecosystem, I don't feel like I was ever not playing something. I was either on my 3DS or my Wii U. I was back and forth between the two. When one wasn't getting games, the other one was getting an abundance of games. So it's back and forth. Right now, I just happen to be on my Wii U a little more. But over time, I would definitely say I put more time on my 3DS than I have my Wii U.
Which actually, that raises a really good point. Now, we know that openly Nintendo has said they have brought both development teams for the 3DS and the Wii U together into one team, where they were segmented traditionally. I wonder, as those two teams merge together and are more focused on the Switch, how that might have some cross connection with the 3DS as they roll out games as well, or if we're going to see a reduced amount of games due to the fact that the resources are put towards the Switch.
Yeah, or you know, they're starting to move Wii U games to 3DS. So is that a potential too, where they sit there and they say like, "Hey, we're going to move some of these Switch games to the 3DS as well." We don't know. You know what I mean, it's hard. Without knowing the power of the Switch, I mean, but let's be honest, like the Wii U is a lot more powerful than a 3DS, and they're getting games down onto it. So that blows my mind in another thing altogether. Like to see that they're actually doing this is crazy.
Could you imagine, and I know that we're kind of, I'm stepping off the rail for 1 second. Could you imagine if they had Splatoon on the 3DS?
That would be huge, I think. I think it would be massive.
I think that would be a game changer for them.
I think they're better off to leave that on the Switch, to leave that on the console that they're really trying to promote. I don't think that they really have a lot to gain to put it on the 3DS. I think right now they're basically just milking the 3DS for all that they can to get as much as they can out of it before putting out to pasture, really. Right. Yeah. There's such a good library on the 3DS already that I feel like there's so much hype just from that short Switch video, right? Of Splatoon 2 on the Switch, that I don't think there's any reason to put it on the
3DS. Yeah, I don't think they will put it on the 3DS. That'd I just nice. Think that if they did, it'd be insane. I think that to me the bigger shocker was like bringing Mario Maker over to the 3DS doesn't seem like it's any technologically, like it's not that difficult to do. You're basically playing those versions of Mario on there. It's just building the levels. That Yoshi's Woolly World, pulling that over to me is like, holy cow. That just blows my mind that they're able to get a game. Now, I haven't played it yet. I'm kind of curious. I'm really curious how close it is to the Wii U version, because that's just crazy.
Well, yeah, because like that one, did they show footage of that in the Nintendo Direct? Like
they did.
It seems to me like you could do it in almost like a pre-rendered sort of thing. I don't know if that's how they're doing it or not. Probably not, but
yeah.
You're right though. It's interesting. It's an interesting, interesting project to see them kind of getting as much as they can. I'll be honest that the Mario Maker does not have me excited at all. But like the one that's coming out in a few weeks here.
It actually had me excited for a little bit more because of the bonus challenges with the levels. I was kind of interested in those until last week. I saw a trailer detailing what those extra challenges were. Now I'm not so interested. Mm. It's almost like doing NEX Remix crap.
Yeah.
It's making you do things you normally wouldn't do. Yeah, and I didn't like that in NES Remix. And this is now a pass. Not interested in all.
Uh-huh. But it's interesting. You step back, we kind of talk about like the lineup and kind of this, I guess, void of games. I mean, if you're a 3DS owner, you've actually got a ton of games in the next couple months to be playing, right? So, you know, we've got Mario Party Star Rush coming up here in a couple of days. You've got Pokemon in a couple of weeks. Mario Maker at the beginning of December. You have then got Yoshi's Woolly World at the beginning of February. Pikmin is somewhere in between, I think, before June. So you've got
got
a hefty lineup, but that's not including digital downloads. Sorry, was that Zach?
Sorry, I'm just having a little bit of. I'm going to pause this recording for 1 second because I'm getting some glitchiness. All right, I'm just doing this. 1 second. Can you hear me? Testing. Yes. Dial me back, peeps.
Did I play a little bit of it? It's we're not bad. Not bad. Oh, Jesus.
Every time. Never not funny. Okay.
What the hell's wrong with you?
All right, I'm back. It wasn't obvious.
Are we re-recording?
Yes, we're recording.
Okay, so the next question that I want to kind of bring to our attention is there a chance we will see the Switch evolve after its release in March? Kimishima's response is, what we haven't shown you yet is the software lineup. We also haven't shown you all of our first-party software. When we make a new hardware, how it works with the software is critical. This is what we were not able to show. We want people to touch the device in January. Experience the software for themselves.
Okay. So they want us to touch it, right?
Yeah. But the question, sorry, I apologize because we had that little bump. There's a question actually I need to bring us to us a little bit before that, and it is the Switch part of a bigger hardware plan? The part we've shown you this time is just a conceptual image of how the Switch is different from the Wii U and previous systems. Going forward, of course, in terms of what kind of accessories will come out, we want to show this to you in January and no later. By no means was that everything.
Okay, but he said specifically accessories.
Yep.
Okay, so
it is dongles up in here, y'all.
So imagine Wii Wheel 2.0, where you pop that thing straight into the Switch, straight into a wheel. Brace yourselves, people. Is that what we're getting here? Like,
no,
or think, like a virtual reality headset. I mean,
he apparently also was asked about VR, and they said that Nintendo is looking into VR. So I think that if this tablet section is 720p, what everybody's talking, that's not going to be something we put in the VR. That's not going to make any sense.
Even the current PlayStation VR is grainy, and I'm not a fan. I'm conceptually a fan, but it's like going back from like a Retina display to like an old school phone. Yeah.
Where I feel like what Nintendo's game plan is to basically, I feel like they future-proofed the Switch, where we're going to get these tablet upgrades every couple of years. And with that ability, then I think in a couple of years we could be looking at VR, because if they go to 1080p on this tablet, then we have the ability to drop it into a, you know, like a, what you do with your cell phones, where you drop it in and you're too. You know, your Joy-Cons basically become your sticks or whatever you're doing with it. I think there's a lot of potential, but I think coming out the gates, I think we're looking at Joy-Cons, various ones. You know, my biggest thing is, if you're telling me that I can buy a Joy-Con that is like the old NES, just a D-pad and two buttons, and then when I play virtual console games for the NES, that's what I'm using. Or if I buy Joy-Cons that are for the Super Nintendo and it's got the D-pad and four buttons and the two buttons without, like, that's where I feel like this can go, where they're doing all these different iterations of it. And I think that's definitely someplace they're going to take this.
Yeah, well, and even
I don't
even,
like that idea.
Well, even like, am I going to be able to use? Am I going to be able to use my controller from my NES Classic that I buy in a couple of weeks here? Am I going to be able to use that with the Switch? But that's also the plug that works for the Wii remotes, and so you know what I mean. Like, there's a lot of
I was just going to say I wouldn't on the side or the back of the Switch there could be that port where you can plug in that NES controller from the.
That seems like a very large port with very limited functionality is the problem. Unless you can connect a Wii remote to this thing. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised actually if you could wirelessly connect a Wii remote to the Switch. But
in my gut, I feel like there's got to be a way. Like you look at the Wii U, right? And you look at the virtual consoles that we're getting, and right now a lot of it's Wii based games. And we regardless of what people feel about the Wii, like, to me, it was, at least for me personally speaking, like, it brought me back to gaming. Like, before the Wii, I was leaving. I was done. I was like, this is dull. It's the same stuff over and over and over again. There's nothing different. And I gave up on Nintendo and video games. And when I got the Wii, I was like, this is kind of like playing video games for the first time. Like, everything, like Galaxy and... you know, Twilight Princess and all that stuff. There's so many good games. I can't see them wanting to distance themselves from a lot of the great games that were on the Wii. And you, unless the Joy-Con is controlled a lot like Wii remotes, which I really don't think it is. I don't think they're motion-based. Then you're going to have to. I mean, for the virtual console side of things, you're going to have to, aren't you, to some degree? Bring that back?
So. Well, yeah, and the... like, to what you're saying too, as far as like N64 games and like all that sort of stuff, it's getting really complicated or really convoluted really quick. Like, it looking at the number of buttons on a Joy-Con versus on a Pro Controller or not, you know, like it's just interesting. And maybe it really isn't too much different than what it was with having the Wii remote and also the gamepad and also the Pro controller. Like, all of those were options too, but it just seems like it could get really ugly really fast, right? And they need to, more than anything, I think that they need to exercise restraint in, and I think that the, from a positive perspective here, I think that they actually have shown restraint in what they've shown so far. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. So they didn't just bombard us with all this stuff. They were like, okay, we need to get messaging right. We need to control exactly what we reveal and make sure that we're very deliberate on message so that there's no confusion. Right. And, and they've really done that. And so hopefully they do that with the, with peripherals and accessories. What's interesting to me, Justin, is that he's saying that they haven't shown any of the software that goes along with this. And so I wonder what kind of software is he talking about? Like, are we talking about like the types of software that I can think of from previous generations are like the video chat thing that was on the Wii U with like the weird drawing stuff and then Miiverse and eShop. And like, are we finally going to get like a virtual console arcade sort of thing, you know, where it's all consolidated into one piece of software that you basically just launch the virtual console app on your Switch. And then you have the option to see all the virtual console games you've bought so far. That's what I want. Like, I would say that's my number one wish for like software improvements on the Switch. I don't know. Can you guys think of any other software
perspective, I would like to very easily have some kind of notification of my friend playing a game and I can jump in and play with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, one thing. Yeah. Because if
I'm playing,
you can go to a friends list and see somebody, but you don't get that notification. It'd be nice to say like, as you're playing, hey, Justin just chimed in and you can go follow him. Yeah.
Like I want to be able to like been playing Breath of the Wild. I'm at home or whatever. And all of a sudden, like, a little like notification pops up and it's like, Bobby is playing Mario Party or Mario Kart 9. Would you like to play with him? yep. And it like literally pauses where I am, stops where I am, jumps me into 9, and I can join in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
Right. Like that's the kind of stuff that I want. The rest of it's like that in my account system. Fix my account system where I don't need to buy Super Mario 2 or 3 again for the 12th time. We're going to be all right.
Yeah, I would love to see them. My main thing is I want to see them bring the virtual console, but immediately, like not like they do like the Wii. We had this massive virtual console and then we go to the Wii U and it was like starting from scratch. Yep. And I think that like Justin's saying, like give us our games, like let us bring them across. What I would really like to do is I have an external hard drive. All my games that are on my Wii U just shift over and mm-hmm. I could play them right there. Like maybe they're not on the go. Maybe that's the caveat. Like I have to play them on the TV. Like I have to have an external hard drive hooked up to it. They're saying there is no external hard drive hooking up to it, but I'm just, you know, in thinking like external hard drive hooked up to it. And then that is how I play my Wii U, all my Wii U games, all my stuff that's on. I got like almost 150 games. I got like 128 games on my Wii U. Like, and that's all array. That's, you know, indies, old NES games, Super Nintendo, all that stuff, plus AAA games and third party games. Like, kind of would suck to lose. I mean, not that I would lose it because I would just use it on my. I wouldn't disconnect my Wii U, but it'd be nice to be able to disconnect my Wii U and just have my Switch there, you know. But
yeah, I'd love for it to be like cloud based, right? Yeah. So when I'm at home, I have access to my cloud of games, and I can choose whatever I want, right?
Yeah,
and maybe it just takes if it's off the cloud, it just takes a second to buffer. It's cloud stage, right? But then it's like, oh, you know, okay. So for me, I'm an example of like I travel a lot, right? So okay, I'm gonna travel with my Switch. Before I get ready to go, I'm going to like hard download certain games on the hard drive, onto the actual portable Switch, and I pick up and I go. Whereas it goes to my library, it shows like that is checked out, so to say, right? Yeah. Like it's checked out to my hard storage. When I get back, I can just put it back and we're good to go, right? So you can, I want to be able to own my games where I go and access them more easily.
Yeah, I agree.
And not have to rebuy them.
That would be awesome.
And I really truly believe that Nintendo has something like some digital resolve for this in place. And that is why they have been pushing their digital program so much.
Yeah.
Over the last year since the introduction of My Nintendo. I really truly believe that's why they're doing that.
You know what, though? If that's the case, I'm still going to give them crap for it because they should have let people know. Because I feel like I'm in this weird situation right now with the 3DS, with Pokemon Sun and Moon coming out, where I'm like, well, Pokemon is actually one of the few games that I feel like maybe I would like a physical copy of. But also, if the Switch is suddenly going to like play, you know, it's going to play 3DS games digitally, then I'm going to want it digitally. And so am I going to get screwed out if I buy it physically? But then I'm also thinking, well, if they're going to promote the 3DS, you know, for the next couple of years, then it's likely not going to be backwards compatible with 3DS games because that's going to cannibalize 3DS sales. And they specifically said that they don't want to cannibalize 3DS
sales. Yeah, I don't think 3DS will be – I don't think if they do this, 3DS games will. I think if they do – at the start, at the beginning. But I think that Wii U games, I have a gut feeling that's what they're going to do. And if they were smart – they would say that now.
You know what, though, Bobby?
I'll be honest with you. I would buy all my games because I have about 16 games physically. I would buy them all digitally so I know that I could carry them over with me.
I don't – but the thing is that the Wii U or, I mean, the Switch, there's no gamepad for it because you have to dock it in the thing and completely obscure the screen in order to get it to work. So you – all of those games that require the gamepad
– there's not many, work. Honestly. I mean, there's a handful of games that require it. You know what I mean? Like
Splatoon, right, but you would have to emulate.
Okay, fine. But Mario Kart, you don't need it. You know, 3D Land, you don't need it. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, you don't need it. Like, there's a boatload of games you don't need it at all.
You don't need it, but the software. But basically, what you would have to do is you would have to emulate a Wii U, and you would have to have the Switch do something with that video output is being generated. Yeah. And so and I don't know if the Switch is powerful enough to emulate a Wii U. I think that's the tricky part, right? Like, cause if you could sit with the Switch in your lap, then even if you could wirelessly connect your existing gamepad to the Switch, then that I can see it working and it'd be fine. But I don't think that, like, I highly doubt that you're going to be able to use your gamepad on your Switch. That'd just be, it would be cool, but it'd be kind of bonkers too, right? So
yeah,
that's where that it makes me really, I'm really, it would be awesome, but I'm really skeptical of that. I don't know. It's, I worry that we're just going to have to cut our losses and start over. And the only, I think that the exception for that would be Virtual Console, because there is no virtual console, because there's no expectation of it actually working. And not only that, but you'll notice, maybe, I don't know how intentional this was at the time, if they would have thought about this, but you'll notice that all of the Wii games that are sold on Wii U are not considered Virtual Console games. And those would be a lot harder to emulate on the Switch as well, because you have to have Wii remotes and infrared bars and all that sort of stuff. And they very specifically made the choice of not calling those Virtual Console games, even though they were from an older console. I don't know. I hope that they find a way to make it work, and maybe there's different ways for them to do it, or maybe they re-release them or whatever. Like, we've seen that with the DS games as well on the Wii U, but the DS has kind of shown that it's kind of an ugly process when that, like, it's not just like, congratulations, are you happy you got what you wanted? Now you have DS games on your Wii U.
Oh, that's horrible.
Right? Like,
I was going to buy Wild World the other day, and I was like, wow, this is horrible.
Right.
That is, like, just trash.
And is that what's going to happen if we are like, but I really want to play my 3DS games or my Wii U games on my Switch? That could be the solution that we end up getting, which is not ideal either. So,
well, okay. So let's just say hypothetically, they took a year to work on this, and they took a game like Mario Kart. It's hard to say Mario Kart, because I really have a feeling they're going to come out with a definitive edition day one, and it's going to have all the DLC stuff included. But let's say they didn't, right? What if they said, like, a year from now, if you own this game digitally on your Wii U, a year from now, we will have it corrected where it'll just be a single screen game where you don't have to worry about, like, because all it is basically is a horn on the second screen and a placeholder. Like, it shows you what places people are. Like, if they were to say, like, hey, we changed this in a year, and now you can, if you owned it, you get it for free. If not, you can buy it. You can buy it for whatever. So even like, Donkey Kong, when you play that one, it's just one screen. It's either on your gamepad or it's on the TV. There is no dual screen on that. So I would like them to try to fix some of that if they can. Like, the games obviously that require it, it's a little bit more difficult. But the games where it's just a map down there, I don't think it's that hard to get rid of that and just either make it where you pause the screen, the map pops up, or whatever, you know. But it would be nice if they could do that some way, some fashion.
Yeah, and I can even see them maybe doing a thing where transfer your, you know, or connect your My Nintendo account that's also been connected to a Wii U that has played this game or whatever, and even saying, okay, if you've played this on this, then you will get a disc on the Wii U, then you will get a discount on the Switch port. Right. Mm-hmm. And kind of have it that way, where, or maybe you can even, you know, they update the Wii U so that they have cloud saves, and now suddenly you've got your cloud saves from your Wii U that transfer over to your Switch. Like, there's lots of software ways to do it, but it would have to be a port, that is kind of what I hear you saying, is that it wouldn't, it's not as simple as a transfer over at that point. So
yeah, I agree.
So yeah. It's man, it's an interesting new world, man. There's a whole lot more that is still coming that I'm like, I hope they've got this all figured out, because I can see in the not so distant future that they're going to reveal some of the details of this, and it's going to make people mad because it's not going to be as backwards compatible as people want. So
and that's the thing that drives me crazy is, PS4 wasn't backwards compatible to the PS3. Xbox One wasn't to 360 originally. Then they started to make some changes, but their entire library isn't backwards compatible. And Like, it's like Nintendo is trying, you want, everybody's screaming, we need what, we want you to distance from the Wii and the Wii U and get away from all that. So they, in order to do that, you can't have it both ways. There's no way you're going to be able to cater to both sides. Like, if I don't get it, I'm not going to be mad about it. I still have all those games on my Wii. It's just that I would like to disconnect it and put it away, you know? Mm-hmm. If I can't, it's not the end of the world. Like, I'm not going to flip out over it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's the problem, is a lot of people do.
Yeah. Oh, that's obvious.
Yeah.
So the next question I want to bring us to, because I think there's a lot of really good conversation going on here, though. The next question is, the video didn't seem like a typical Nintendo promotion. It was aimed at an audience that you'd expect for Sony or Apple. He replies with, as the name implies, we're switching a lot of things, but we have no interest.
You see what he did there? You see what he did?
That's good. But we have no interest in switching our customers.
Oh.
We have no intention of just going after a certain age group. Depending on the kind of software that comes out, families and kids will be able to play too. The titles we did show, those are games that are for people who understand they will grasp it right away. But for families and kids, we want them to understand by actually experiencing it.
So in other words, they're going to do – that's when they're talking about that in Japan, they said as soon as they have their – I think like they're announcing that thing on the 12th. And then on the 13th in Japan, it's like a huge two-day event that they're doing where everybody who wants to play the Switch can play the Switch, which is really cool. And I think that that's actually probably a really good idea. I'm glad that I live so close to the West Edmonton Mall, because that means I probably will have a chance to play it. I know the PlayStation VR had a huge display set up in West Edmonton Mall for like a good two or three weeks where you could just go and try it out. And it was really cool. So hopefully they do that kind of thing a lot. I know here honestly, what they'll probably do is they'll have the Nintendo rep go and hang out at Toys R Us for half a day. But
right.
I do think that's a good idea to have them interacting specifically with families and getting hands-on experience.
Yeah. Bobby, if they end up doing this kind of an open hands-on demo at the NYC store, would you make a little bit of a trip? Yeah,
I'm going. I'll take off. I care less. I'll call out of work. I'll take off. I'm not worried about it. I actually might, you know, take a couple days off around that time anyway, just so I can be prepared. And I know it's going to go up there. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they have everything. They always have everything up there.
Oh,
and it's
going
to be a crazy line. It'll be like two blocks long, and you'll have to wait in line just to like get a ticket to come back the next day and play. That's just the way they do that stuff up there. I feel like, though, ultimately what we're looking at here is, and I think you guys talked about it last week on your show, was I think you guys hit it dead on where it's more or less like right now we're going after the millennials. We're going after the younger guys. That's just the way it's going to be, because we know that they're the hardcore gamers and they're the ones we're trying to woo back and win back. In that video, though, there's, you know, them two guys playing in the back of the van playing Mario Kart. I'm sorry. That's kids playing that. That's no adults going to do it that way. That's basically
that's road
mom
trip
and dad
right
up front
there,
driving with the two little boys in the back, and they're playing and they're going, you know. But I think once you hit closer to holiday 2017, that's when you're going to see all the family commercials coming out and pushing that way. I just think that's the way it's going to go. I think right now they're just looking to win people back, and that's all they're doing. And I think they did a really good job with that first trailer, basically getting everybody that kind of walked away looking back at them and going like, I'm going to give this a second shot. Like, you know, my phone, I'm sure you guys were the same way. My phone literally blew up that day.
Yep.
You know, like people that were Sony fans that left and all that stuff, like, oh my God, I'm back. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy that they did this. So. I think it's a good move.
Yeah. Well, and even listening to some podcasts that are totally unrelated to Nintendo, you know, just sort of generic video game podcasts, or ones about like Overwatch, like I listen to an Overwatch podcast and they're like, oh man, I'm really excited about the Switch. It's going to be awesome. Right. And like, even people like just completely unrelated, I'm like, holy crap, like this is everywhere. It's crazy. So I think they've hit on that, but I'm interested to see the kind of what they offer families in particular. I think that the road trip thing is a really cool bonus. I don't know if it's enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost, the Switch being portable in my family is almost a liability. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, it's all like, if it's connected to my TV, I know where it is. But if it's if it's not, that's almost the minus in my books. You know, like, so it's going to be interesting. Like, how much am I going to be using it as a portable, and then also having this little connector thing for when I say. But also as a parent, the ability, I remember growing up that my mom would hide the controllers sometimes, and then you quickly learn, like, all right, I just got to, like, find one and stash it away just in case. But to be able to take the whole thing straight out of the dock and be like, no, you don't get it. Like, that's sweet. That's amazing.
That punishment becomes real fast, right?
Yeah. It's not just hiding controllers where you got to go and, like, find one controller. It's like, no, you got to, the whole thing's gone. Like,
that's funny.
And you don't even have to unplug it or anything. So that's awesome.
Yeah. My mom did that a couple times too. Because she didn't know how to disconnect the whole Nintendo. She's afraid if she did that, she'd break something. So she'd do the same thing. Give me the controllers.
Yeah. Give me the controllers. They're locked in. They're locked in her bedroom, and then, like, forget it. Come back when your chores are done. So, I think
moms across the world unite.
See, though, when I was a kid, it was about the same. But with my kids, since, of course, I know about how all this stuff works, I had no problem with taking a power supply and hiding it.
Yeah.
You know, screw the controllers, hide the power supply. They can't do anything then.
Yeah, exactly. Right on. So, Justin, is there anything else from this article here?
Those are kind of the main article. They're the main piece I want us to pull out from, I think. But, I thought it was some good feedback. It's very interesting to see. I think he answers some of the questions that were out there, put more questions in our ears to think about. And then for the next 3 months, we are now going to speculate about everything. January 12th can really not come quick enough, I think.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be, oh man. So good. Very cool. So, right on. So next up, we had a Nintendo Direct this morning. It was actually a lot longer than I expected, this Animal Crossing Direct.
Yeah, for a mini Direct. This was not a mini Direct.
Every once in a while, it seems like they get, like, a lot more creative with it. And I think that this is definitely one. So
Richard in the chat says, what if one of the kids takes the Switch with them, then you come home thinking that you're going to play some Breath of the Wild, then, wait, I can't, it's gone.
Well, that thing ain't leaving the house without me.
I replied in chat, someone's grounded.
Yep, yep, you have lost.
Someone will never leave the house again.
Yeah.
Yeah, when at least for the initial launch, the Switch is mine. If the kids want to play it, they need to check it out for me and return it when they're done. And that thing does not leave the house. I'm the only one that gets to remove it.
He actually brings up a really good point. And I mean, I've mentioned before, the amount of times that I travel, right, I would want to travel with the Switch.
Oh,
right?
Totally.
That's what I would want to do. But now what we're saying is that, like, well, if I do that, my kids can't play it. Well, what do you think my wife's going to say? Yeah. My wife's going to say, leave the Switch home so the kids can play it. And I'm like, you know, you make a very valid argument.
Well,
I don't like it, unit. But you make a valid argument.
And my answer to that is, your wife already said she wanted to buy two anyways. So
yeah.
So we'll see what happens there.
But I know what you're saying
too. So it's okay.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying though. And it's true, right? Like it offers a wonderful freedom that is not there, but also sometimes there's a reason that the dog in the yard has a leash on. I don't know where the metaphor is there, but I'm gonna let you marinate in that for a little while as we move on to Animal Crossing.
Speaking of something we all marinated in, let's talk about Animal Crossing.
So 15 minutes of the Nintendo Direct today. The update is out, and there are a number of new features to the game, which I think are really awesome. Justin, you don't have this yet, right? You don't have this game.
I don't have it yet. It's been a game that I have contemplated for a while because my daughters they really loved Happy Home Designer. So I was like, oh, well, I hear there's this Animal Crossing update coming on. Maybe I want to see what that's like before I kind of throw down some coin for it. And then, of course, it became a Nintendo Select, right? So the price drops. So that makes it even easier. But I'm curious. I'm really scared of, like, I feel like I got burnt from Fire Emblem. I talked about this recently. Of, like, investing in games. I don't know a lot about the series. Everyone's got hype on it. And now I'm regretting that decision. And I feel like, could Animal Crossing be the same thing? But I also realize that it's probably not what I want. It's probably what my kids want. Because every time my daughters take my 3DS, they're always playing Happy Home Design, despite having some other games that I thought they would enjoy.
Do you feel like you are too cool for Animal Crossing, Justin?
I don't feel like I'm too cool for Animal Crossing. I know I'm too cool for Animal Crossing.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
No, here's the other concern of it. I just think it's going to be a game that can suck my time away. And I've heard all of you say, like, I have 500 hours in Animal Crossing. And I was like, whoa, wait. I don't think I have 500 hours in anything in my life.
The great thing about Animal Crossing. I'm a little
bit concerned about that addictive portion of it.
Yeah, the great thing about Animal Crossing is that it's a game that you visit every day for a short period of time. And if you want to go and spend a bunch of time in it, you can. But really, in order to get, I would say, 90% of the enjoyment of it, you got to sit down with it for, what would you say, Bobby, like 20 minutes?
Yeah.
20, something like that.
And there you go. So that is my concern. So out of the four of us, could whoever currently wakes up every morning and checks Miitomo and actually checks in, does the transactions and changes their costume, raise your hand.
No, that's different, though.
I'm saying is that I'm a
person. This is actually fun.
I'm a person who will make that part of my routine.
And that's what it's about. It's about going in. But see, this is what gets you with Animal Crossing is the game is very addicting for the first year because every day it's something different. For the whole, for the month, different fish are out, different times of days, different bugs are out, different time of the day. Like,
different holidays,
you're constantly
yeah.
checking in and bouncing around trying to catch all the fish and catch, it's just – it's a slow burn, and and it's like there's constantly stuff to do, and then like the holidays, there's stuff to do. Like everything is so – the attention to detail on this game is amazing, and if you go away for a week and you come back, the animals will yell at you and be like, where were you at? Where you been and stuff. It's very quaint and cute the way they put it all together, and it's fun. It sucked me in with the GameCube. And I only played it because that was the first original OG virtual console. They basically tied it where you would go in and you would collect these little Nintendo consoles. You put them in your basement and then you click them and you could go back and play like the original Mario, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Like all these different games were built into this. So my buddy who fell in love with the game tried to convince me to play it. And I was like, no, same as you. No. Don't, that's stupid. I'm not playing that game. It's dumb. It's for kids. I'm out. I don't want nothing to do with it. It's like that Pokemon stuff. I don't want to mess with that. And then one day he was like, hey, you could play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. You love Punch-Out. I was like, give me this. And in trying to unlock Mike Tyson's Punch-Out in the game, just Punch-Out. It wasn't Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. But trying to unlock Punch-Out, I fell in love with this game in the meantime because you just got addicted doing all the little chores and all the little tasks. And I was like, this is just insanity. And now it's to the point where it's like every iteration that comes out, I got to get it. I have a good time with it. I have fun, especially now with my wife, because it's like we'll play together. She'll come to my town and we'll just run around and do stuff together, like fishing or catching bugs and stuff. And it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I think
and Bobby, all of that sounds really, really great. And that's where my concern is.
I think
just give in, man. Yeah, stop it.
Here's the thing too, Justin.
I will, I don't even think I'm like having to be convinced. Like I'm going to do it.
Good. Because then we can listen.
Tell me how much of a hypocrite I am.
I sold my old town. We might as well talk about it now because it's, I mean, we're kind of getting into what we're playing, but, I'll just talk about it now. I sold my town. Part of this update is that when you can recreate your town from scratch, and in the process, sell your town. It's almost like Animal Crossing Prestige mode, where you restart your game, but keep all of your progress at the same time. So I have like more money than I could possibly do anything with in this game now. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, now it's just going to be like collecting bugs and doing all the little chores for my villagers. And the nice thing is that this game has, like, the first I tried to do a bunch of progress in this game, and I immediately remembered, oh wait, this game actually, like, uses real time to prevent your progress. Like, my house is not going to be ready till tomorrow. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I went and picked out a spot for my house, and now I wait till tomorrow. And and it almost feels like, yeah, you can spend.
So is that
ton
why you have to, like, check in almost daily?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the items that are available in the store change daily. The different characters that are in your town often change on a daily basis. And you don't need to do a lot every day, but you need to do something every day. As people are visiting your town, all that sort of stuff, like, it's really, really fun. And I'm looking forward to getting back into it, because it is actually, I find, apart from any other game that I've ever really played, I almost immediately, in restarting the game, reminded myself of how it's a very zen-like experience, where it's just like, it's like a nice, relaxing thing to do at the end of the day, where you just go in and check on your town, and you have your nice mellow music, and it is one of the most de-stressing games that you could possibly play on your 3DS.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You nailed it right there. That's the truth. Like, and the other thing is like, you go in the mornings. I used to wake up every morning. I still wake up every morning at 5 o'clock, but I used to wake up at 5 o'clock, take a shower, get ready for work, and I'd have to leave for another hour or whatever. And I would sit downstairs, cause that's like the best music. It's like real low key and all, but the best fish are out at that time, like money fish. So I'm catching all these fish, and then I would be like, the stores aren't open, so I can't sell them. So I take them on, I stockpile them in my house, and then go back later. Like, I would take it to work with me. Lunch break, I'd open it up, grab all my fish, and take them up to the store and sell them all. And it's just, that's why you want to go, you have to go back different times too, because the stores are only open X amount of hours a day. You know, like, this is open X amount of hours a day. You could do this, you could do that. Like, so that's why you're going in all different hours of the day and all that.
But I already have those problems in real life.
Oh, you can change that in game. There are different ordinances or whatever you'd call them in the game that are to like, I think one of the things that I did is I had like a night owl option. And so all my stores are open until like 2 a.m. But getting into the actual update, let's quickly go through some of these things here. So basically all of the Animal Crossing amiibo figures now work. They invite characters in. Those are the characters that will offer players an in-game Wii U console or a new Nintendo 3DS XL, which will give players access to new games, Desert Island Escape and Animal Crossing Puzzle League. So the actual figures are what are the characters that allow you to get those, unlock the games in there. I don't know how many meow tickets or whatever. All of the RV stuff doesn't use bells for currency. They use meow tickets or meow coupons or something. I don't know how many coupons it is to get a Wii U or a 3DS in this game, but both of those games, the Desert Island Escape in Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival was, by several accounts, the highlight of that game.
Absolutely.
And so to have that in New Leaf is sweet. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I do too.
That's the interesting thing from a non Animal Crossing participant, right? Just kind of from afar, that what I really noticed was like, oh, you're kind of, seems like you're selling what Animal, like, the best features of have Happy Home Designer and of Amiibo Crossing or Amiibo Festival, right? So it sounds like they're kind of like trying to make almost a premium experience.
Yeah. Like,
can you get those console things with the cards, or they have to be the actual amiibo?
I think
statues?
They actually have to be the figures. According to the press release, it's the figures that do that.
Yeah, but can't you get a Wii U and a 3DS just regularly through the game?
No, it has to be with the amiibo figures.
Had them.
No, this is specifically with the
figures.
It was
a balance board. My bad. It was a balance board.
Yeah. So there are other things, and there might be, like, I know that there's a shelf that has a GameCube on it, but it's not functional, stuff like that. But you have to have an actual amiibo figure to get the to unlock those games in the.
I got those. There.
So next up here it says Wisp's Wishes. So by finding the magic lamp in the game, you will unlock amiibo functionality. Once acquired, you can use the lamp once a day to summon the ghostly Wisp, tap a compatible amiibo, and invite that respective amiibo character to your village. So there's apparently a magic lamp. I don't know how you unlock that, but it's in there now.
It's probably like in the past, it was always like laying around someplace in your land, mm-hmm. like on your, in your town.
Right. Was that, so the magic lamp was an item in the game already?
Not in New Leaf, in previous iterations. Oh,
okay. Sure.
Like there was like in City Folk, you would go down to the shore at night and you would find the magic lamp. You would grab it. You would go back to your house, go up into the attic, and then Wisp would come out. And then when he came out, he would grant you a wish. And one of the wishes, like, you could de-weed your whole town in a day, or right. you could do a couple. He would give you one of the three wishes.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's the same philosophy. Like, if you go through your town, you might find this lamp someplace and you bring it back to your house.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So so next up, we have the amiibo cards, which are coming out on December 2nd. There are 50 new cards that feature new characters that are not in the game yet, or I guess they would be in the update, but you can't get them through any other means. There's the campground, which you can use. There's a new area, which is hilarious. The new monkey guy, the hippie monkey, is awesome. The best. This new campground offers different interactions with special villagers, as well as Harvey, a hilarious new character that will assist you with all your campground needs. By tapping certain amiibo figures or cards, a character will show up in his, in her or his custom and stylish RV. So some of them also apply to the Splatoon amiibo and Wolf Link from Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. Basically, any Zelda amiibo or Splatoon amiibo will work with this game. Those are the only ones that they specifically have said, right? Like, do we know if there's any others? I'm guessing not. But
Ganon.
Ganon, right. Yeah, so he would qualify under the, yeah, so any of those Zelda amiibo. I think,
yeah, they haven't said anything like Mario or any of that stuff,
right? Yet. I wonder if they'll add more of those. It's surprising that they wouldn't have, that they skipped Mario, but I guess that kind of makes sense too, because it'd be a little bit difficult to have the animals specifically.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then again, they just kind of reiterate the Desert Island game and the Animal Crossing Puzzle League, which I haven't actually, in restarting this game, I'm realizing that it's probably going to take me a few days before I actually am able to unlock some of the new features, because I don't even have a house yet. You know what I mean? like I can't even do the ordinance things to give extended hours on Main Street yet, so
yeah,
so that'll be figured out. As far as stuff that does not require amiibo, they say Meow coupons, which are the mutual exchange of wealth, which is basically like it's almost like achievements that you then mm-hmm. earn. You can obtain unique in-game items. To earn these coupons, you must complete new daily or weekly town initiatives. So it's kind of like a questing system almost, where you can then use the currency to buy new items. The amiibo camera, which is not really that exciting, frankly. There's a storeroom, which is cool. They have they've basically brought over the awesome decorating system from Happy Home yes. Designer, which, oh my absolutely. Gosh, what a like, I, as soon as I saw that, I was that was in there, I was like, oh, of course they did that. Why? Wow. Why did they not do that? And then you can transfer save data from Happy Home Designer, which will unlock 20 giant furniture items to spend your bells on in Animal Crossing New Leaf. Yeah, so the furniture is absolutely enormous, apparently, some of that. I haven't seen any of those, but I unlocked it. I have to unlock the catalog again, which I think is going to take me a few days as well. So I don't know. We'll see. But overall, I am excited about Animal Crossing again. I think this is going to hold me off at least until Pokemon comes out, probably much longer than that, though. I feel like if I get sucked in like I did when this game first came out, I'm going to be very excited. So
if I get wrapped in, if me and my wife get wrapped in the way we did originally, I'm going till Switch hits, no problem, easily. Like I was hooked hard, and this, I'm where you are. I want to restart. I wasn't sure how to restart, you know, the town. So you telling me that was huge. So I'm actually going to do that probably tomorrow morning and go from scratch.
It was so funny. It was so funny because I went into there and basically it just, you just start the game and you go to the post office where the ATM is. And mm-hmm. you just like look at your balance, you're like, holy crap. And I tried to withdraw as much as I could, and I couldn't even withdraw like maybe 1 million bells. And I just had like bags of money filling my inventory. I was like, holy crap, there's so much money in this game. This is amazing. So, that's going to be really fun. So,
now did you carry your money over that you originally had, or just what he gave you?
I don't know. I don't know if it takes into account your balance, because basically what I had done is at one point I got so obsessive about basically optimizing my income, and so I had like an entire orchard of perfect apple trees.
Oh my god.
So like I would go through and it got to the point where I made the game not fun for myself. It's part of why I started over, because I had so many trees to harvest every day that was just like, but I was rolling in the dough. Like I had so much money. I had so many like perfect apple trees in my town, and I was just like, okay, I can't do this anymore. So I did have a lot of money in the bank too. So I honestly don't know if that's part of, I'm assuming that would be part of your appraisal, but I don't know for sure. So yeah. I ended up being just over 20 million bells, which is a lot of money in that game.
That's a lot of money in that game.
So
people will come and be like dropping bells. Here, take this.
Yeah, here.
Just, I can't spend.
Here's a bag. Here, a whole bag, like bags of money. Yeah.
It's
crazy. So.
So we ran a little bit of a Twitter poll asking how people feel about today's Animal Crossing Direct. 32 people voted. 47% of them thought it was awesome. 31% said it was good. And 22% said they were not super impressed. But so the general consensus of about 80% of the people polled were that they're obviously happy with the changes. And the Twitterverse kind of exploded. You're able to see a lot of information and a lot of people's excitement about it as well. So definitely Nintendo kind of hit the marker on this one. I think the other thing that's interesting that they didn't mention, obviously, was the mobile functionality, right? We know there is an Animal Crossing game coming. Mm-hmm. They didn't mention it, but I would think that this large update has some kind of level of hooks into it as well. From what you guys have seen from this recent announcement, what do you speculate might be part of that mobile game?
Go ahead, Bobby.
No, I was going to say, I just think that the mobile game is very simple. I think it's the puzzle game and maybe the desert island game. But I definitely think it's the puzzle game, because that just makes sense. Like when you looked at it, I was like, that's a mobile game, essentially. Mm. That's my feeling, at least.
I feel like they've introduced a really cool concept with this mobile home idea. And I think if they were to have the app be, you know, it's just one room. It's just your mm-hmm. mobile home, but if you can decorate the outside and you can decorate your mobile home and that sort of thing, I think that is a really cool idea that would transfer really well to mobile phones. So I think conceptually that is the perfect direction for them to go. I don't know if they're going to do that. I think that they'd be silly not to, though. I think that because so much of Animal Crossing is decorating your house, and you don't want to have a full house in a mobile version of the game, like in a smartphone version of the game, but to have just your RV is awesome. I really, really hope that's what they're doing with it.
That's the one thing I took away from this, was like, damn, I want an RV now. Like I was like, that thing is so cool. Like that's the one thing I looked at and was like, that kind of stinks that we don't get that, but I'm fine with it. You know, ultimately, like I think this was, it blew me away that we're 4 years later and it's like they reinvented the game almost and just gave us all this content. It's easy to say free, but you've got to buy Amiibo to unlock a lot of it. But at the end of the day, like if you did any of that, if you got any of a couple of Amiibo or any of that stuff, like you're set to go with this. And I think it's really good what they did. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. It's going to be pretty good. I don't know. What about you, Justin? What do you think?
Sorry, what do I think?
Yeah, what are you thinking of this? Like, I'm just waiting for the day when you just finally show up and say, "Hey, guys, come over to my town because I need to get some cherries or something."
Well, I don't think we're that far away from it, to be completely honest. I wouldn't be shocked if I pick it up this weekend. Because I pick it up physically. Actually, I'm in the States this weekend, so I think it might be cheaper to actually buy it there locally than to get it virtually.
You know what, though, Justin? I'm gonna tell you that Animal Crossing is – there are some games where it's like, do I want it physically? Do I want it digitally? This is one that you really should probably buy digitally because it's one that you want to have saved on your system all the time. This is one of the few where I would really – like, regardless of if you have a preference for physical or digital, this is one that you want to have with you all the time. And I would strongly encourage you to consider the digital download for this game.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about if I was going to do physical, mainly because if we do get the girls a 2DS, which we're talking about, I could just give them the cartridge.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
So I'm struggling with it there.
There is only one save state, though, right?
No, you can. Like,
is there multiple save states?
So basically, only one person can be the mayor, but you can have multiple people move into the town. So in other words, like Justin, your daughters could come and I don't know if you trust your daughters to play in your town. I'm not gonna lie. Do you trust your daughters to like if you set
there's
out?
There's a lot of trolling going on.
Are they going to come and dig up all of your rose bushes and chop down your trees? Because that could really be a really bothersome thing to happen.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm pretty particular about my stuff.
You think I'm joking. You think I'm joking.
Oh, you wanted to save that perfect apple orchard?
Yeah, that's...
It's a Nintendo Select for a reason.
I got City Folk on the Wii, and me and my wife were sharing a town for about a week. And she's like, "Yeah, you need to go buy another Wii because I can't do this no more. Like, this is bad." So it gets rough.
That's awesome. You want to buy a second Wii so you guys can play together.
But you know, I think as it kind of finishing off my thoughts on it, I am really impressed with like how this is a substantial update.
Oh yeah.
To a game that, as we've mentioned countless amount of times, has been out for a very long time. And I think, you know, when you look at how thin Nintendo's library is this holiday season, to have a game like this with a substantial update like this continues to make it you be playing it, right? And continues you having a Nintendo console and game in your hand, which is exactly what they want. Right. So I think that's fantastic. I also kind of think it was funny as you were talking about like, oh, no, you need the amiibos to do some of these functions as well, like the actual physical amiibos and not just the cards. I was like, why do I feel like at some point someone's like, we need to get rid of these. How can we get rid of these? You know, it was super popular Animal Crossing on the 3DS. Let's incorporate all the amiibo support so we can move these figures.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I did see somebody online today too say like, oh, what happened? How is it? That's really loud. How is it that like a year later, the people like they're like they finally are like, oh, let's actually do this right on the 3DS and actually provide a good reason to buy these amiibo figures instead of
because this is what we should have gotten. Like, I understand Happy Home Designer was the idea and the concept behind it all, and that's what was – and the Amiibo Festival, but they just weren't the games for Amiibo. You know what I mean? Like, but this update, if they would have done this, I think they would have sold a boatload of Amiibo, no problem at all. Like, people now are like, I want cards. I got to go get cards, you know, and I stopped collecting the cards. Like, I have Series 1. I got – half a Series 2 and I stopped. I'm like, this is pointless. This is stupid. Yeah. And now I'm like, no. I need to start collecting again because I need to get the rest of the people.
Like, look at that. I got
you got a problem, son.
I got a lot of amiibo cards. I'm gonna be like, I got a lot. And so I am really excited about though, like I don't have a ton of like I have the original Splatoon 3 pack. I don't have Callie and Marie, but I have a few Zelda ones as well. I'm excited to get I'm still waiting on that 8-bit Zelda or that 8-bit Link amiibo. Oh, that's going to be good, but I have these two amiibo here set aside for when I actually am able to unlock like that when I can figure out how to use the RVs and get those in there, but those are going to be cool too. So
yeah, this is my mass total of amiibo cards.
dude. Like, look at these.
We picked some up for when we picked up Happy Home Design.
For those listening and not watching, I'm holding two.
I think
with three, though. Amiibo Festival came with three. Don't you have this one?
Maybe the card is hiding somewhere.
Stitches is the man, dude.
I think that, like, the girls, I think, had bought, like, three or four packs. I think we have, like, 25 of the Animal Crossing Amiibo cards.
Oh, okay, yeah. I do have three.
There you go. Yeah.
Figures, I have them all. I have every single Amiibo figure, including the Isabelle variant. Like, I have every single one.
You are dedicated.
Well, you have a problem, though.
Yeah, I need to get. I just need to get the.
How you and Dave Moore haven't had a stronger conversation? I don't know.
I need to go and get Cap'n, and I think, and I do have Tom Nook and the ones that came with the game, but this might give me a little motivation to go and buy Cap'n, because Cap'n is pretty awesome.
He's awesome. So,
cool. All right.
Rosetti, come on, he's even awesome too.
Oh yeah, that one's pretty good. Except he's weird because he's out of the ground, so that's what's weird.
Yeah, that's a little bit,
but.
That's true.
All right. So any other things? We've got a couple more news stories here. I think real quick, Monster Hunter XX is due to be released in Japan on March 18th. Is this basically the sequel to Monster Hunter Generations? Is that what I'm to understand here?
I think so. I don't really know enough. I kind of briefly moved into our headlines, but I didn't feel it was, you know, that
huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a thing. So, Monster Hunter fans, rejoice. And also Miitopia was announced a little bit more today. They released a demo. I don't understand this at all. I don't know what this is. I watched some footage of this and I still don't understand. It's like an RPG with your Miis. And that's about all I understand here. So I'm gonna look at this video. What am I looking at? I don't understand. Like, is this a full retail game here?
Now, this, like you said before, this is just being released in Japan. Now, they are having another direct about it in actual, I think, the 5th of November to talk more about it. But we don't have any information about what it is. It appears to only be targeted in Japan. I'm sure.
If we don't get this, though, this is like such a weird, quirky game that I want this. Like, it reminds me of, like, Tomodachi Life, in that it was just, like, so weird and bizarre that I'm like, you've got my attention, Nintendo. This is so weird that I want to see how this plays out. I don't know what's going to happen, but...
Well, I'd remind you that, like, we also don't have Detective Pikachu yet either, right?
Yeah, that's true. I don't understand... I just don't understand, and I want to understand because I'm so intrigued by this weird, by the weirdness that I want more. I don't know. Just watching this, it's so bizarre. So,
well, more to come eventually is what we're saying, I guess.
Yeah. So again, we'll probably talk about this next week if they are indeed revealing more information next week. But I don't know. We'll see. Let's head into what we've been playing, shall we?
Do it.
So, Bobby, being our guest here, why don't you let us know what have you been playing, good sir?
Obviously, a little bit of Animal Crossing, but what I've really been dipping into this week is Metroid Zero Mission. I tinkered with it when it first came out on the Wii U Virtual Console, and then this past weekend, I just jumped in for some reason, and I couldn't get enough of it. I'm in the final stages of it, and I'm getting ready to cap it off, but I love it. The game is phenomenal. I beat the original Metroid. So when they first announced this, I was like, I don't know if I want to play this or not. And I never played it originally. I just felt like I beat the original. I don't want a remake. And I didn't realize that, like, how good this story is and how good, like, the cutscenes are and all that. Like, they really took it up a notch in terms. And there's a little bit of that nostalgia. You know, it's kind of like playing Link Between Worlds, where it's kind of like Link to the Past, but it's totally different, you know, and it was just enough of that to make me really excited for it. And it kind of has that Super Metroid feel as well, like when you're fighting Kraid and Ridley and all them, and they're similar to the way you beat them in, you know, the Super Nintendo version. I just love this game. It's really good. So that's where I'm at in terms of what I'm playing.
Nice. Right on. I also have been playing some Animal Crossing this week. Playing, what else? Just let me look here. More Picross. I played the Pokemon demo a little bit more. Actually, one game I revisited that I hadn't played in a while is Super Mario 3D Land. I don't know why, but I was just like, huh, I'm just going to go back to this and see how I feel about this game. And I forgot how good that game is. That is probably one of the best 3DS games that's out there. So I played that and then some Zelda 2 as well, which we're recording after this tonight, gentlemen, as well. So that should be that should be some good times too. So buckle
in. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buckle Bobby's in, like, everybody. I'm out of y'all. Yeah. So that's mostly what I've been playing. Jesse, what about you, man?
Okay, so like you, I also have been playing some Zelda 2. Whenever I sat down to play it, I set it up streaming on my channel so people can. I'm not commentating it or anything. It's just the game streaming. So I did hear from a few people saying, "Hey, I watched you play," but other than that, yep, they watched me play.
Nice.
So I'm hoping I've played Zelda 2 before. I played the hell out of it when it was new, so I know a lot of the secrets. So I'm hoping that me putting the video out on YouTube and anyone else watching it can pick up on a few things that they may have missed. And we'll talk about that in the Retro Rewind. I did finish Picross 3D Round 2.
You finished it.
I finished it.
Wow. Nice.
When I finished the last puzzle, I got like a note saying, "Congratulations, now try to get all the rainbow gems." But of course, I already have all the rainbow gems because I did everything in the hard level. So as soon as I pushed A, it says, "Oh, you got all the rainbow gems." And so we now have platinum status, which I don't think adds anything other than changes the color of my my save state line. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much as far as I can do. I can go through and try to zero strike the puzzles that I have one or two strikes on, but I don't think that's really worth the effort. Yeah, that last puzzle, I think I did doze off a few times while in the middle of it, so I'm not sure how much of it is actual thinking and how much of it is sleeping. But the last puzzle took me an hour 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And with no strikes.
That's crazy, and dude.
Total play time, 83 hours.
Wow. And how much is this?
$30.
Yeah, it's like a full game, but it's good, man. I like it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the money if you can sit through all the puzzles. Actually, yeah, Zach Miller said he still wishes there was more puzzles.
Yeah, it is extensive. I'll definitely say that for sure. So,
I thought I was. What else was I doing? I thought I was doing something else, but maybe I didn't. Oh, yeah. Last week I hinted that I was. I don't know if it was on the show or just during the after show, but I mentioned I was going to participate in an archery tournament.
Oh, that's right.
And
I saw the pictures.
And I did. I posted a picture in the Patreon chat, and I think I think it was you said that I need to change my avatar to that picture everywhere.
It's just awesome. It's just really cool.
Anyway, so I actually am legit going to be looking into beginning my own bow and learning how to make my own arrows and participating in more of these tournaments. Dude.
That's super cool.
I had fun. I think the most amazing part of it all was, you know, the tournament was had five or six rounds to it. The first round had a target like 90 yards out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we kind of had to imagine that there was a bullseye on the perpendicular plane. You know, like the bullseye is laying on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to get as close as we can to the target. And I think 25 feet is where they started scoring. So I shot my six arrows as we were walking up to collect them. I collect the first three right away, obviously more than 25 feet. So I get to my fourth arrow. It's in a bundle with other arrows that haven't been picked up yet. So I'm holding on to it, seeing if it's within range. And they say 25 feet is here. So my arrow is at the 26-foot mark.
Oh.
So no points for that one. But the other two were both within 15 feet. So I did get some points out of it. And there was one participant who actually hit the target. And we were all amazed that anyone actually was able to do that. She ultimately won the entire tournament and is this year's Royal Huntsman is her title.
Nice.
So when the king and queen hold their court for events within the next year, she will be behind them as part of their guard.
That's cool, man.
This tournament actually has some prestige behind it.
That's
so. My wife says, "Don't win." Because the event wasn't in the kingdom where we live, it was in the neighboring kingdom.
Oh.
Which is where she started playing, you know, in the SCA when she was a kid, which is why she still goes down there from time to time.
And so wait, so is there like is there going to be like Game of Thrones stuff going on if you like compete too well in like the neighboring kingdom, or like what's going on here?
No, it just means that if I won, that means I'd have to participate in more of the Asturian events, which means more travel.
Oh, I see. Okay. So there's not going to be like, I don't know. I don't watch Game of Thrones, so I'm trying to try to pretend like I'm cool and know what I'm talking about, but
yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of archery events in our kingdom, which is Calantir, but so. The more I want to do some research and see, if there is a thing called, in order to hold a tournament or at least any archery whatsoever, you have to have a marshal on board, that pretty much watches everyone, make sure they're following the rules, and which has the right to say, they have to inspect the bows, and if they don't like something, then you don't that bow is not used, so he's pretty much. He's the king of the archery field for that event. So
that's super interesting.
So sweet, if we're at a shortage of archery marshals, I might look into it.
Right on, dude.
Try to get more archery events in our local area.
That's super cool. All right. So, anything else? I think we're good.
I think it's all I got.
Okay. Justin.
I have been playing Mario Party Star Rush for the Nintendo 3DS.
What?
This game
Not come out yet?
This game has not come out yet. It is coming out on this Friday, November 4th. We were kind enough to get a review copy of it about a little over a week ago, I think. And I've been playing it, and I've been playing with my kids, and I have sunk, I think, almost 10 hours into this thing in less than a week. Which is pretty good. So I would say this, I think I've talked about on the show before that I am a fan of Mario Party. And typically in our house, it's always like, oh, the newest Mario Party game is out, pick it up. And we'd always pick it up and we'd always be very excited. Except for the last one for the Wii U, where it felt like it was Mario Party Amiibo Festival would be the way that I would describe it. It felt it was very thin. There was only four boards. Not a lot of options, very reliant on Amiibo. It felt like it was a cash grab to buy Amiibo. So that frustrated me. So when I saw that Mario Party Star Rush was coming to 3DS, I was skeptical, to say the least. And then I was even more skeptical when the corner of the box blatantly shows the Amiibo sticker. So I thought, okay, well, this is fantastic. This is going to be pretty much the same, but on the 3DS. I am pleasantly surprised and happy to say that is not the case with this game. This game is really tremendous. There is a ton of options and varieties games for you to play. And actually, I'll flip to kind of tell you what they are. So you have a whole bunch of mini games, right? As you always do. And actually, when you go into the mini games, they actually even have the mini games broken into subsections that you can just pick up and play. So they have ones where it is a free for all. There's boss battles. There's coin chaos. There's Bowser's Gauntlet. And between all of these, there is, I think it's about 70 different mini games to play, which is very cool. And that's just pick up and play mini games. And then you have other kind of course options and tasks. So there is a Toad Scramble, which is where you basically kind of like rush around and try and collect stars with all your friends, which is kind of cool. There is a coin athlon where basically you are trying to collect as many coins on these matches, and there's 10 like levels that you challenge the computer against that creates kind of some really cool manic for mini games, which is really awesome. There is a balloon bash, which is all about like popping balloons. You pop balloons to get coins, and then those coins are used to then actually buy stars, which is kind of cool. And there's lots of mini boss battles. There's a rhythm recital, which feels actually like it was squeezed in. Rhythm recital feels like someone was like, hey, remember that Wii Music game? We should try that, but let's put it in a game. So they did that. You could play like Mario Music, and you kind of like just like tap the A button to beat. You get some points for it, but that was kind of a little bit thin. There is a Mario Shuffle, which is kind of like rolling the dice and essentially trying to get your players from one side to the other without hitting the other team that's coming against you. It's got a very kind of like paper cardboard style art look to it, which is very cool. Boo's Block Party, which is kind of like a very advanced version of like Tetris, which is a lot of fun. And then the final version they have is the Challenge Tower, which is climbing like 500 floors of Bowser stuff, which is really quite cool. I think the thing I like most about Mario Party Star Rush is the fact that unlike when you're playing Mario Party normally, you have to wait for everybody's turn, right? I roll, then Zach rolls, Jesse rolls, Bobby rolls. We're going to have a mini battle, yada, 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 right? Well, this picks the entire pace up. So when you roll, everyone else rolls the exact same time. So everybody moves at the exact same time, which in some of the games, especially the balloon bash, is chaotic because you need to get coins to then exchange coins for the star, which is at a specific location. So you are both trying to like it's kind of like a mad dash of you both running for the exact same block to get the coins and then trying to get the star, and people are beating you there. So there's a lot of variety and options that are super fun to play with. I was really, really impressed with the depth of fun and challenge that I have in this. The other really neat part I like about it is they have what's known as party level. And party level is the ability to unlock these multiple levels, these coinathlons, these Mario shuffles. So you need to be able to play, you need to win at these games, you need to earn credit, essentially party level credit, to cash in for your next thing. And that includes unlocking some of the playable characters as well. So unlocking Rosalina or Mario, or Donkey Kong or Diddy Kong. So there's a lot of incentive to continual play. Some of the other things that I think are great about it is there for, as it relates to multiplayer, because obviously this is a multiplayer game. A couple things that can happen. There is the local wireless. So if everyone's in the room and you've all got a copy of the game, great. You have full access to it. No questions asked. There's also download play. Download play does give you some limited access to games. You don't get the entire roster. You get about four to choose from, which isn't bad. So me and my daughter sat down, I think it was on Friday night, we played local play. We played a couple games together. It was fun. It was fine. The girls really enjoyed it. So that kind of play is really cool. But they also actually have another level as well, which is called, I'm going to pull it up right now because I thought it was a really interesting feature. It is called, where is it? Mario Party Star Rush Party Guest Edition. And what it is you can actually go to the eShop right now or the eShop and download it for free. And what happens is that it's kind of like a really micro free version of Mario Party, but you can only like play essentially some very, very limited tasks to be able to do that. But when you were playing together, like so it kind of almost gives you like a micro version of the game. And when you play that one, you all play together, it actually helps you to increase your party level to help get to the next level as well. So it's all about, again, we talk about Nintendo having that couch co-op, that multiplayer together experience, much like Metroid Federation Force. This is all about being together in the same room and enjoying each other's experience. If you are a parent who's looking for a game, maybe you know you're getting your kids Pokemon, but you're like, what else might they like? I've got a couple of kids in my house. We like playing games together. I would highly recommend Mario Party Star Rush. This is a fantastic game. I'm really happy that we got an opportunity to play it. My kids have loved playing it. We're going to do a kids review of the game as well, but they are super stoked. It's super easily approachable. The fact that it's got the download play, I would highly recommend this. They have, much like what we saw with Animal Crossing New Leaf update, I think they stepped back and realized what they did wrong with the other Animal Crossing game. I think Nintendo stepped back and realized what they did wrong with the last Mario Party game, and they wanted to fix those problems in this game. So I am highly recommending it for parents.
Wow, dude. I'm surprised actually at how positive you are on this game. That's awesome.
Yeah. So am I, cause I really actually, when I got it, I shouldn't say not looking forward to it, but I felt I really got burned on the last Mario Party for Wii U. That I was very tentative, I will say that.
Yeah. Right on, dude.
Has a few questions for you about the game.
Yeah.
So is there classic Mario Party?
Classic in what way?
Don't know. So VGG, if you want to elaborate on that, go ahead. In the meantime, we can go on to the other question.
Yeah.
Does it put all the characters in that train thing? Whatever that means.
No, that horrible train, boat, vehicle thing is gone. So that is fantastic. It really actually provides you that feeling of, you know, it's all about you, right? Or I shouldn't say it's all about you, but it's you're not working collectively together to accomplish the goal. It's very competition against each other. There's obviously those bonus stars at the end, like, oh, who did the most mini games, like that kind of stuff. The only one where really there is a little bit of kind of a cross collaboration is actually Toad Scramble, where you kind of connect with other Mario characters in the universe, and then you kind of use them to get further ahead in the game and then attack the end boss at the end. So that one's kind of a little bit of a collaboration one, but for the most part of it, the rest is all against each other, which is really fantastic.
Sweet. Right on, man. Well, with that, I think, you know, Justin, I'm looking at what? Sorry, go ahead.
Before we segue off, I do also want to say, because we're talking about games, that at the end of this episode, guys, we will actually have a a commentary from Marty Estes, who reviewed a game for us as well. Ectoplasma. So look forward to that at the end of this game as well, or end of this podcast as well.
Right on, man. That's awesome. So thank you, Marty. You are a gentleman and a scholar. You know, I'm looking at the time here, Justin. I'm thinking we might want to bump this top 10 Wii U thing. How do you feel about that?
I'd like to keep that, but move some of our Postman and other stuff.
Okay, so you want to keep that. So
I do.
Okay. Because
Bobby came prepared.
All right. Well, in that sense, let's head into a special event here.
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you are going to get.
All right. So
let me frame how this works. We know that the Wii U is coming to a close, but this week in Twitter, Emily Rogers asked people to name their top five Wii U games. And I was like, man, I could name a lot more than top five. So I thought, let's create collectively a top 10 Wii U titles that we are going to build. But then our guest every single week gets to make a couple of modifications to the list. So the very first thing that we need to do, gentlemen, is we're going to build the list, and then Bobby is going to make some adjustments.
Okay.
All right. So it's going to kind of be a bit of a live strategy as we go. So we're going to name our top 10, starting at number 10, Jesse.
K.
Can you give me your number 10 Wii U game?
Sure. Before I do it, I kind of want to preface what I did. You know, I started off with looking at all the games I bought.
Yep.
If, you know, if I finished it or played a lot of hours on it, like moved it up to the top. If it was a game I really didn't care much about or, you know, didn't put a lot of hours in it, I pulled it down. Yep. So there are, you know, games like Twilight Princess and Color Smash, I'm sure would be up there if I played them, but I never got around to it, so they're not there.
Yeah, this is all about your perspective.
And then I kind of filled in the holes with a few indies.
Okay, that's fair. So Jesse, give me your number 10.
I have Little Inferno.
Okay, Little Inferno, awesome. Okay, thank you very much. Let's move over to Zachary.
Okay, so mine aren't necessarily in any particular order here, but I'm going to submit. So we're saying top 10 Wii U games. So together we are creating a top 10. Is that what we're saying?
Correct. Yep, that's correct.
Okay, I'm gonna say that let's put in Star Fox Zero.
What the hell's wrong with you? I mean, that's great,
dude. Hey. I'm not going to tear down your favorites, man. Well, I might.
And I probably will. Case anyone's wondering why Twitter may be blowing up, is the Cubs won the World Series.
Oh, congratulations,
holy man.
They just won it in extra innings. They came back from a 1-3 deficit and won the game.
You know,
in game seven.
Even somebody who whose response to that is sports ball knows that that's a big deal, so. Yep. Congratulations.
I'm putting as a number 8, I am putting Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. 7, Jesse.
So my number 7 slot is I have Hyrule Warriors.
Okay.
I'm going to put in what are we at? 5?
6.
Let's go with Smash Brothers. That might be a little bit low. I feel like moving some stuff around is probably going to happen.
Okay, I'm going to go to number 5. I'm going to say, this is tough. I'm going to say, this is really tough now. Yoshi's Woolly World.
Okay.
Okay, Zach, or sorry, Jesse, 4.
Pikmin 3.
Ooh, okay. Good
one. Zach?
We're on 3 now? We're on 3. Oh, shoot. Wind Waker HD.
Oh, my gosh. This is tough. I've got to say number 2 is Splatoon.
Okay, well, we have a problem right now because there's at least 2 games that are not on this list that need to be on this list.
I know. That's what I'm thinking too, but I'll be interested to hear what Bobby has to say. And Jesse, your number 1 game for the Wii U is?
And I bet it's one of his 2 games. It's Mario Maker.
Dang, interesting. Okay. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the top 10 list that we, the Nintendo Dads, have pulled together at a very quick pace. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to turn over to our guest, Bobby Pauls, a Nintendo guru himself. Bobby, you get to do 3 things on this list. And those three actions can be, you can remove a game. Mm-hmm. In that removal, you can also add a game. You can shuffle a game.
What do you mean by that?
Like if he's like, no, Hyrule Warriors needs to be number 9. He can make those changes.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions, Bobby?
No. What's the third action I can do?
Call a friend. Give me this. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. what did I say? You can remove
it. So you're gonna say replace. You're gonna replace one with another one. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Or,
that's one.
Or change the order.
Change the orders too.
I feel like.
I think that's good.
Yep. So either.
Yes, two.
So 2 moves. So,
yeah. Sorry, I apologize.
No, that's fine. Okay. So. Man. All right. So this is rough. I think I'm going to do the same. Okay, so the number 10 was Little Inferno.
Yeah.
We're going to kick that out.
Okay.
I had a feeling. We're going to put
in Mario Kart 8.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, you know what I'm noticing is not on this list that probably needs to be on this list?
What?
And I'm just going to throw this out there because I'm guessing this is a working list, are we saying?
Yep.
Is this changing an ever-evolving list for a while? Yep. I'm surprised that 3D World is not on this list.
That's a good point. It's a good
I
point
had there. It as my number three, but I didn't get to say three. That's why I didn't come up.
Yep. Okay, so Bobby, you've added Mario Kart 8 to the number 10 slot.
Mm-hmm.
Any other moves you'd like to make, sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to jump. Now I want to take Mario Kart 8.
Yep.
Well, you can pop. You can plop
one spot.
Yeah, you can plop Mario Kart wherever you want.
So
yeah,
that's what I would do.
Okay.
Okay.
I would move it to number one.
Wow. I think that's I can't disagree with that, actually. I think that's a reasonable.
Yeah, on my list I had it number two total overall, but I had Splatoon number one. But you have Splatoon high enough that I feel like that's okay. But I think Mario Kart 8 is probably I put so much time into that thing, man. And I probably put like 170 hours in. So yeah,
this is where my list is different than everyone else's because I didn't like Splatoon. I didn't like Mario Kart. I didn't like Smash, where everyone else will put those three games on there.
Nintendo podcast, right?
You know what, though? Here's the thing, we can kind of get into this.
Because
but
I don't like multiplayer games. That's like the big overarching thing about them. I like my single player games.
And I think as well that if there is one game that is more overrated than just about any other game on the Wii U, it's Mario Maker. I think that yeah. I think that is a great tool set that ultimately became an area where it was a cool toolkit to make levels,
yeah.
But ultimately I did not have a whole lot of fun playing that game. Yeah. So
I wonder what the reaction would have been if I said my number two in my list in play as number one and not saying Mario Maker.
We're not putting Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Garbage out of here. And here's another thing too. Like now that I'm thinking about it, I know that we've always said that the Wii U has a really good library, but looking at this lineup of games, I really enjoyed. I haven't played Donkey Kong Country yet. But all of these other games I've played and they're all really fun. And I'm still looking at this list like Xenoblade Chronicles X,
yep.
Really good game. You know, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, really good game. 3D World's not on this list. Pokken Tournament's not on this list.
Captain Toad.
Yeah. Like, man, there's a lot of good games on here.
Paper Mario. Color Splash.
I'll tell you one that's not on the list that I think is probably, and I've been raving about this game for a while now, Rayman Legends. I think it is the be-all, end-all, best Wii U game out there. Like, next to a Mario game, it's probably the best 2D platformer on the console. It is amazing.
Wow.
That's awesome. Well, here's the interesting thing that I even say when we're looking at this list, right? We don't even include any indie titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, my list here, I had some indie titles. I had Teselgrad, I had Axiom Verge,
I had another indie title that no one else probably had.
Mm.
Human Resource Machine.
Oh, you nerd. That's awesome. Right on.
I guess, Zach, here's a question I have for you, though, because you mentioned Star Fox Zero, and you also mentioned Super Mario 3D World. If you could take off Star Fox for Super Mario World 3D, would you?
Oh, I hate to admit it, but probably. Nice. Just because I don't know. I don't want to give it up yet. I guess so. I think that it suffered from the fact that just similar to a lot of games where the mechanics and the controls of the experience got in the way of a positive, otherwise really good game. And I think that is how I feel about that game as a whole. It's just, they got too fancy with it. And I think they got in their own way, but,
the chat has a few other games that they want mentioned.
Okay.
Just in case everyone forgot about them. Wonderful 101.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, I had Bayonetta 2.
So both both games by Platinum.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I would be interested, I'll be honest, I think that I'm trying to catch a fish in Animal Crossing right now.
Oh,
I got
Jesus.
Him. I got him. Yes, it's going.
Killing okay. me, son.
Yeah, I got a fish.
Priorities.
Sea bass.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I think that I liked the aesthetic of Wonderful 101 a lot more than Bayonetta 2. I feel like if the polish of Bayonetta 2 was transferred into a Wonderful 101 sequel, I would be really, really happy. So.
And again, those are two games I didn't play. So.
Yeah.
Mr. Soul single player campaign. Like, how could you not play them two games?
I did play the original Bayonetta. I didn't like it. So I'm like, I'm not going to bother with the second one. And 101 seemed just too convoluted. You know, even I didn't, at the time, I didn't want to mess with it. Yeah. Figured I'd go back to it later. And then I find out, after trying other the Transformers game from Platinum. I had a hard time I couldn't beat the tutorial because I couldn't get my hands on, what in Bayonetta is which time. I don't know what they called it in Transformers, but it's the fact I'm told that that's kind of a staple of Platinum games. Mm-hmm. If Platinum writes it, there's some sort of slow motion time. And I'm like, oh, then screw it all because I'm not going to be able to get it.
Nice.
So that's why I never bothered to go back to those.
Right on, man.
Yeah, and I paid full price for the Transformers, and I got 20 minutes out of it. Yay me.
Hey, man, a little secret for you. It's called the Public Library. I actually got the PS3 version of that game, and got about the same length into it as you did, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, that's, I like to go digital and buy day one, and sometimes it bites you in the butt.
Yep. Right on.
Not the only game that has done so this generation, but that one kind of hurt because I wanted to like it because I like Transformers. Mm. And it's Gen 1.
Yeah.
Everything.
Right on. Okay, well, gentlemen, I hate to break it to you, but we have another episode to record tonight, and we're butting up against 2 hours on this here. What do we got as far as the wrap up here?
I think the biggest things we need to wrap up is we need to give Bobby some community spotlight time.
Yeah, we do. Right.
Okay, I'm a squid.
There you go. Bobby, we got some community spotlight here. Tell us a little bit about what you do online and where can people find all your goodness?
I have a YouTube channel that I have called Nintendo Guru. Check that out. I got new videos going up all the time. I've been doing a lot of videos lately, a lot of Switch-based videos. I did an Animal Crossing direct video with my wife today that'll go up tomorrow morning. I have two podcasts that I'm on regularly. I have the Geekcast that I do with my good buddy Toby Thornton. And then I do If We Ran Nintendo with Sean Capri. And that's basically it. You can follow me Instagram, Twitter, at Nintendo Gurus.
Right on, man. Well, thanks for being on the show. It's always awesome to have
you
on.
Guys, check out Bobby's work. He is a super passionate fan of Nintendo and just has a really great perspective about it. And I think their approach for the If We Ran Nintendo show is really fantastic as well. So, guys, definitely subscribe. Check out his stuff because it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No worries. All right.
Thank you for having me on. Seriously, you guys, I love coming on the show. I just I need you to just move time zones for me. Just a couple of weeks ago. But I love this show. I really do.
Right on.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right, Justin. Well, I think we're going to forego our emails and stuff this week just so that we're not up until like 2 a.m. And driving ourselves crazy. Yeah, and I also just realized that I need to double check that I have sent an assignment that is due at midnight. So,
all right, fair enough.
So,
well, why don't I talk about
a break
what
in
we
between?
Should be doing it for a little bit of our closer here, guys. A couple things I want to draw your attention to. Extra Life happens this weekend. Zach, myself, Bobby, we're all gonna be playing video games this weekend to raise money for charity. If you haven't donated and you want to, that's cool. Awesome. Head over to our Facebook page. You can find links to both Zach's and myself page.
You just use mine because then I don't have to get any crap from anybody else.
No, just give to Justin, not Zach. And if you want to do that, that's great. We appreciate it. Even if you want to share that, that's fantastic. Thank you so much to the community that have supported us on this so far. That's amazing. On November 6th, we'll be releasing a Retro Rewind episode for Zelda 2. And now that it's November, what should you be playing, ladies and gentlemen? You should be playing Super Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo. That is our Retro Rewind winner for the month of November. So make sure you're playing that. Huge shout out to our Patreon producer, Tim. And his amazing support that he gives us. He can head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads to support us as well. But thank you, Tim. Thank you for everything that you do. Mm-hmm. Back over to you, Zach.
All right. Well, everybody, with that, I think that wraps it up for the show. So thanks again, Bobby, once again, for being on the show. It's been awesome having you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, if you want to follow us on all of the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at NintendoDads. I don't know why I said it like that, but it's late. I don't know. It's going to be, we got another episode. That's fine. You can also email us, nintendodads@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitch or YouTube. Just look for Nintendo Dads. We're there, and we're square. Call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. If you want some Nintendo Dads merch, go to tiny.cc/Nintendo Dads store. You can buy a mug. You can buy a shirt. You can buy, can you buy underwear there? I think you might be able to buy underwear. If not, you can buy a sweet scarf. So do that. Or a huge duvet cover with the Nintendo Dads cover art. So if anybody buys that and sends me a picture, then I will send them a signed piece of our cover art because that's just ridiculous. As well, if you, big thanks to Ozzy Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for Mega Dads for their amazing artwork. And, of course, if you want to change the world, go over to iTunes, leave a 5-star review. Written reviews are the best of them all, and that is how the Nintendo Dad's gospel gets spread throughout the world. So do that, and you'll change the world. It'll be a better place. Finally, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and, of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, for Jesse, and for Bobby, the Nintendo guru, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Hey guys, Marty Estes here with another review. This time of Ectoplasma for the Wii U, published by Syndicate Atomic. Ectoplasma is a multiplayer game about ghosts being bored in the afterlife, so they decide to do what bored ghosts do. Beat the crap out of each other, throw balls through hoops for points, and collect each other's ectoplasm to score. The game's website promises non-stop local multiplayer mayhem for 2 to 4 characters, and I would have to say that it certainly delivers on that. Ectoplasma is a competitive 2D beat-em-up in the same vein as Smash Brothers, with various game modes, characters, and stages. First, let's talk about the characters. From the wicked-looking Acid Mouth to the ninja-like Dicey, Ectoplasma boasts 6 characters to play as, each with just a little bit of tweaking. Actually, there's not much difference. It really comes down to personal preference. Even though some move higher or jump faster or charge up their attack quicker, ultimately, like I said, it comes down to personal preference, which in my house means color. We found ourselves fighting over which person would play which color quite often. Game modes include Afterlives, which is a last ghost standing battle to see who can win, Collectoplasma, which has you beating up other ghosts to knock loose their ectoplasm, and Ghost Ball, which features a ball that can be knocked through a hoop in the middle of the stage for points. Each of these game modes lasts about 5 minutes, along with, you know, usually it's a best 2 out of 3 type thing to win the game, and most scoring goes to 3 as well. The game features 6 stages in various parts of the afterlife that can be played on any mode, and I'm happy to report that the graphics are brilliant, colorful, and easy to make out even when 4 ghosts are battling it out on screen. The sound is on point with a spooky but not too spooky soundtrack and lots of fun sound effects. Since this is local multiplayer, that does bring me to my one negative, which is that the ghost can be a bit small on the screen, which can lead to confusion, especially if 2 or more people are playing with the same character. I find it a little hard to see with all the action going on screen. Overall, however, this game's a real treat. I played it to review with my 2 children, who immediately fell in love with it and demanded to play it over and over and over And over, you get the picture. It has simple controls that work with any gamepad, pro controller, or nunchuck and Wii Remote combo, so anyone can pick it up and jump right in and play. I'd highly recommend this game if you have children who already like Smash Brothers, or if you're looking for a multiplayer game that's lighthearted and easy to pick up and you just don't want to play freaking Amiibo Festival anymore. There's not much to learn in Ectoplasma, which means that anyone can pick it up and play immediately and even win, and Ectoplasma is available now on the Nintendo eShop for $7.99, and I give it 4 out of 5 strips of bacon. Guys, back to you.